Welcome to the Biz for Good show with your hosts, Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. The Biz for Good podcast is a fun and adventurous series that dives into the world of business, nonprofit, and startups, making a difference in the world for good. Get ready for another episode. Hey, cue that sick intro.
Is for good.
Okay, folks, welcome to the Biz for Good show. I am your host, Bobby Glenn James, along with the Ryan Pilkington. Thank you very much. And of course, today, as usual, we have an amazing guest, amazing guest with us, Mr. David Belitas. Welcome, David, to the show.
Thank you, Bobby James. Hello, Ryan. Nice to meet you today as well.
Nice to meet you.
Awesome, awesome. David has been gracious enough to say he will hang out with us on the segments. So let's just run straight to the segments and get going.
All right. This is episode 20, folks. Get ready for a good ride. We're on number 20.
20.
Just want to thank some sponsors real quick. We have EFL 360 currently helping us out.
EFL360.com for entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders. Folks that want to take their business to the next level, maybe start a business, want to become a leader, how to take charge, all that good stuff. EFL360.com.
All right. And then also we want to, on any of the fans out there listening, please comment on the show. Also on this live feed, give us a thumbs up, those sparkly thingies, whatever comes up there. And then those little poppy things that come up. Smiley face. Then we have the feedback. Give us feedback on the show. It really helps. And we're making movement here with the B for G movement. So we go into the segments here for you. I have a biz hack for you. And it is called Unplug from the World. What do you think about that, Bobby?
Unplug from the world?
Unplug.
Meaning get away from technology and that kind of stuff? What do you mean unplugged? I want to know. Give me the heads up. Do we need to run in the mountains? Do we need to... Right. What do we need to do here?
Well, according to a study on social media, a study on social media and stress conducted by the American Psychological Association, they found that constant checkers reported high levels of stress.
Constant checkers? They're playing checkers constantly? That's not good.
So basically, if you're looking at your phone...
Oh, because checkers really calms me down.
Yeah, right?
I just love checkers.
Checkmate.
It's chess that really stresses me out. So, anyway, quit checking. Dave is like, oh my crap, what did I get into?
Kind of already had an idea. It's okay.
It's all right.
All right, good. He's on board, folks. All right. Anyway, so this life hack, business hack for you is just unplug. Those that are constantly checking their email actually reported some high levels of stress.
Absolutely.
There is an app I just wanted, if you're interested, you can go to Google. It is a Google Chrome extension. It is Stay Focused, and it gives you a timer, and it'll log you out of social media sites for a time.
Oh, very cool.
What do you think of that?
I love it. I remember reading a book once, a high-level CEO of a billion-dollar company. He used to go to his home when he had big decisions to make, and he would crochet. He would sit in his room, close the door, and crochet for several hours, come out with the answer to these big questions for this billion-dollar company.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you just get away. Sometimes you've got to get away from all of the noise. And in our world today with technology, there is a lot of noise. And just getting back, sometimes you get some clarity.
All right. And you can't see her, but my wife is in studio today.
Sort of.
I brought her along and she's got a story to share with you for our good news on the Biz for Good show.
So this is for all of you art lovers out there. There's a 5-year-old who has donated over $750 to charity by painting galaxies, and she's actually really good. She's got great use
really cool stuff.
Yeah, she's got great use of color theory and things that many people her age.
You gotta scroll down on this over here so we can see the artwork.
But
Ryan, where's the? So you people can't see it, but we're gonna put it on Facebook so you guys will get to see this amazing, talented 5-year-old that does some just really cool stuff.
It is very amazing what she does. And then really neat thing is there's a charity in India that helps people get out of poverty. And she's actually donating some of her sales to her, of her paintings too. That's starting in April. She's donating the next 12 months. So really get on there and check her out. She sells stuff on Etsy. Her name is Cassie. Cute girl and amazing artwork.
And she'll be on the Facebook page and stuff.
And she'll be on the Facebook
page. Ryan, can you go back to the page that showed her Instagram feed? Because I'm guessing some of your listeners. So go back to this story. What's the Instagram handle there? Bobby, can you see that? Is it Cassie?
Cassie Swirl.
Cassie Swirl. So that's
her Instagram.
C-A-S-S-I-E and then S-W-I-R-L-S. Is that correct?
Yep.
Cassie Swirls. So if you go to Instagram.com/ Cassie Swirls, you can see this. And I'm looking at it right now. Pretty awesome
it
looking.
Is cool.
Especially for a 5-year-old. That's
that
pretty awesome.
Amazing. I want one.
And the cost of her paintings are actually quite reasonable. I was just looking on her Etsy site. They're about $30 to $60.
Really?
So they're really reasonable.
Cool
and
stuff. Cool
oh,
stuff.
That is so awesome. Cool. Okay, check it out on the Facebook page. We'll be getting that out to you. And some of it's already there. I noticed that other thing you were talking about. How do you even say that?
Yeah, it's fun, folks. She donates this portion of charity to the Bodhicitta Foundation.
I bet David could say this really good.
No, I can't say that. No, I won't even try.
They help impoverished countries.
We should maybe spell it. Bodhicitta Foundation.
Yeah. It's on our Facebook, so check it out, people. That's not on our live feed right now.
Yep. Awesome.
All right, Bobby. It's up to 8 Wisdom's Moment. Learning surprise.
Really? Are you like really throwing that on me right now?
Yeah.
So of course the second wisdom is learning, and we're always learning, right, David?
Absolutely. You should be. Or you're dying.
Or we're dying. Exactly. If we're not learning, even when we're sleeping, I mean, dreams teach me all kinds of cool stuff. Learning is a powerful tool, and it surprises me how many people say, I want to be successful. I want to create a great company, but they don't read a book. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. The reality is if you do not continue to learn, especially in today's hyper-connected world, you will be like a...
Left behind.
Well, you'll be like a canoe in a stream without a paddle, and you will get pushed downstream.
That's right? A good analogy.
You'll be left behind.
Absolutely.
Rewind that. Listen to that very carefully.
That is wise, wise advice. Do not be a canoe. Just jump. I mean, you'll hit rocks. Who knows what kind of horrible things.
You have no
but
control.
Man, when you have an oar, you have your destiny in your hands.
Right.
Ooh, steer that thing. I love it. Thank you. Oh, see, I brought the right guy.
You brought the right guy.
Thank you. Nice of you to say that.
All right. That leads us into the quote of the day. I'll go ahead and do that.
Okay.
The topic is greed.
Greed. I love. Oh, no.
No, you don't.
Greed's bad. It's the Biz for Bad show.
Biz for Bad. There is no calamity greater than lavish desires. There is no greater guilt than discontentment. And there is no greater disaster than greed.
Greed.
That's from
Lao Tzu.
Lao Tzu? Oh, the Tao Te Ching.
BC.
The Tao Te Ching. Very, very good. The Tao is a beautiful philosophy. Awesome. Okay, folks.
And I'm going to kick it over to Bobby for the show.
All right. Welcome. We have here David Politis, and this is all about David Politis today and what Biz for Good means to him and why it matters.
Okay.
So let's get to know David really quick.
All right.
So the mic is yours, David, to kind of fill us in on what David Politis is all about. Oh, and
so for those of you that are watching on video, you can see I'm looking at my watch. I want to know, how much time do I have? Because I could be here for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, yeah, everybody likes to talk about themselves, right?
So he makes a good point. We like a 30. We want to keep it under 40 minutes.
That's fine.
So you take
5 minutes or so.
Yeah, you got 25.
Okay. All right. So you give it to me. I'll take it. So, about me. I'm originally from California, San Francisco native. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was I did know I was the oldest of five children, but it turns out we were poor. I didn't know that until I was older. My dad was a union man. He worked for a competitor to Macy's department store back in the day. And born and raised in San Francisco or in the Bay Area. When I was six, I moved to a small town south on a peninsula about 25, 30 miles south of San Francisco called East Palo Alto. Now, most people not from California, not from the Bay Area, will have heard of Palo Alto.
Palo Alto is the
center of Silicon Valley.
Yep.
It is one of the most expensive places to live, one of the most wealthiest enclaves in the world. Hmm. It is the home to Stanford University. And we didn't live in Palo Alto. We lived in East Palo Alto. East Palo Alto was not only across the freeway, it was also in a different city and a different county. We moved there. East Palo Alto was just lower income housing. It's what my family could afford. We bought their first house there. But by the time I hit third grade, it was about half white, half minority. By the time I hit sixth grade, I was one of two boys in the sixth grade class that was white. And I learned then at that time that racism does not care about the color of your skin, because anybody can be a racist. When I was in sixth grade, that spring of my sixth grade year was the year that Martin Luther King was assassinated. It was a Thursday afternoon. I know, because it's burned into my mind. That late afternoon, I went to school the next day. I got punched in the stomach because I was white. And my mom was serving at the time as a yard duty teacher. Those of you old enough to remember that. She worked part-time for the local elementary school. And she and some others were called into the principal's office and said, if you want to go home, if you want to pull your kids out of school, you're welcome to do that. My mom and dad spoke, and they ended up deciding probably better if they did. That Friday, which was that now, the day after the assassination of Dr. King, was the day before Easter vacation. And they decided probably not be a good idea to stick around in East Palo Alto as one of just a handful of white families living in East Palo Alto. So we went up to San Francisco, stayed with my grandparents for a week. We came back, nine of the windows in our home had been shot out by BB guns. Somebody egged our house, and that night, I didn't find out until I was like 25, but somebody threw a Molotov cocktail at our home that did not go off.
Wow.
Mm.
So,
Wow.
In addition to all of that, you know, as part of who I am, what makes me who I am, my parents had five children in 6.5 years. And two of those children were handicapped. So I'm the oldest, my brother's next. He has some serious learning disabilities. He did mainstream, but he was born with his fingers webbed together, his toes webbed together. He had hydrocephalus, which is a fancy name for water on the brain. His eyesight's so bad that when people joke about having Coke bottle bottom glasses, that's how thick my brother, they're close to 3/8 of an inch thick. Wow. And he's still basically legally blind. He has about a 50% hearing loss in both ears, and he was born with an extra pinky below his pinky on each hand.
Wow.
So they had to separate those fingers and his toes. They clipped off the fingers. And then I have a sister who was born hearing, from what we can tell, and became deaf. She could not hear about the time that she was 18 months old. Had 106 degree temperature, burned her nerve endings in her ear. And so I've been around people who are challenged or disabled or handicapped, depending upon what terminology you use. Not trying to offend anybody, but I've been around people with challenges my entire life. That shaped who I am as well. So that's part of the background. When I was six, sorry, when I was 12, this happened. The principal in my elementary school, Castaño Elementary there in East Palo Alto, my parents and our Mormon bishop got together and said, what should we do with David? This is not going to be a safe place for him. And it was decided, and what happened was, is that on Sunday after church, I would go home with another family who lived in Palo Alto, not only a different town, but a different school district. I lived with them from Sunday night through Friday. So because I lived in a different school, sorry, different city, different town, different school district, I could go to a school in Palo Alto where it was more homogenous, let's put it that way, and safer for me.
And wow, so interesting. I hear those stories very often.
Yeah, no. I went from being, not bragging, just was one of the smarter kids in the school to being run-of-the-mill, middle of the pack. And shaped my life that summer after I graduated from elementary school. My parents moved to San Carlos, a little north on the peninsula, bought another home. And things were normal until I was 14. And when I was 14, I was at a church activity, and they were putting on plays by the various congregations. And at the middle of the closing prayer, there was this commotion to my right. Lights came up after the prayer was over, and there's my father on the floor doing a gator. He's having a grand mal seizure. I was 14. I didn't even know what a seizure was. And they took him away in an ambulance, and nobody knew what was going on. And came back home, and his condition was unknown for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And after 3 years, through some, I would call it miraculous, things, the medical profession finally figured out what was wrong with him. He was one of about 100 people in the world who had this condition, and it attacked his central nervous system, eventually killed him after 14 years. So at the age of 15, 16, I became, in essence, the man of the home. Didn't know what I wanted to do. My grades weren't very good. I mean, about a 2.7, 2.8. I knew I wanted to be around other Mormon kids. That's what I wanted to do. I only applied to BYU, applied to Ricks, got accepted to both, went to BYU, did terrible, got a 1.95 as a sophomore, which put me on academic probation. And then I met my wife, my wife, Alicia.
Mm-hmm.
And I got serious about life 5 months after we met to the day we got married. And 5 months to the day.
When you know it, you know it.
We did. Yeah, I was 25. She was 24. We had a kid 9 months, 4 days after we got married. So you can do the math there. And we have 5 kids, and we're very blessed. We have 5 grandkids now. I didn't know what I wanted to be. And then one day, and this is part of what's shaped my life and which, in fact, led to the book that I've written, the career that I've chosen. I was in the student union building at BYU. And I was leaving the student government offices on the 4th floor and came down to the 2nd floor. I had an opportunity to turn left or turn right. Which way do I go? Do I go hang out in this cougar eat and try to pick up on chicks, meet, see friends and stuff? Do I go right? And the impression was go right. So I turned right and went towards what was at the time the Wilkinson Center ballroom. And there was a brown bag luncheon being held. And Dr. Truman Madsen was speaking. And at the time, he was my favorite author. He'd written a book called Christ and the Inner Life that just, was amazing to me. I was like, I've never heard Dr. Madsen speak before. I'm going to sit in. Turns out that he was talking about how to choose a major, how to choose a career.
Perfect!
Which I didn't know, right? I'd taken all these classes, and he nailed it down to 3 things. And this is what I tell students. Spoke this week at the campus of Utah Valley University with their prep program, which is designed to help middle school and junior high school kids try to encourage them to go towards STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and math. Mm-hmm. And I shared this with them. I said, look, I don't care what field you go into, but what Dr. Madsen talked that day was choose something you're good at, choose something you enjoy, and then choose something that you can change the world with while supporting your family. Those three things.
That sounds like a be good, do good.
Yeah. And so as I walked home to my apartment that day, these three things kept ringing through my head. And I started going through a mental list. Which classes had I done well in? Chemistry? No. Social science? No. History? No. All of my classes that I'd done well in were mass communications. And all the classes that I enjoyed the most were in mass communications. And so I thought, huh. I do good at them. I do well at them. Mm-hmm. And I like them. Can I make a career at them while changing the world? Because when I was younger, I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to help people, right? So many people want to help people. Yeah. And my high school counselor said, all the math, all the science you can take, that's what you should do. So I did. All my electives were filled up until my senior year. I went to my physics class, and after 3 weeks, I said, I can't stand this teacher. This guy is an absolute nut job, right? I took physics in college, did fine. I just couldn't stand him, so I dropped that class. And I took trigonometry, and I got a D in trig my first semester. I'm like, maybe I'm not supposed to be a doctor. So fast forward to BYU years later and listening to Dr. Madsen, and I'm like, maybe mass communications is the world I'm supposed to go into. My last 65 credit hours, which is what graduate schools care about the most, I got a 3.65. And I got serious about school, and I learned how to study, and I learned how to apply myself. And
you did stuff you really enjoyed.
I did stuff that I enjoyed and that I
was
good at.
That's the cool part about that last piece of college, is you get to focus on the stuff that gets you excited.
You're absolutely correct. And what was, I remember being asked, not once, not twice, but many times by friends there, students in college, and said, PR, that's a really crowded field. Aren't you afraid that you won't be able to find a job? And I said, no, I'm good at it. I'm going to be really good at it. And if I'm really good, I will always have a job. And the answer is, I've always had a job. So I love the outdoors. I love fishing. I love camping, backpacking. I love sports, playing and watching. And the thing that we'll talk about here as we get towards the end, I love helping other people. And that's part of why I'm happy to be here today with the Biz for Good show. So
awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that leads right into our next question.
It okay. does.
Which is, what does Biz for Good mean to David Belitis?
You know, it's thank you to you and your team for sending over a list of questions in advance. It's given me an opportunity to think about these things. But the reality is, business is not inherently evil.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Yep. Business can be evil based upon the choices made by its owners, by its managers, executives, what have you. But by itself, capitalism is not bad. It's not. And in fact, I believe it's the best style of lifestyle, if you will, the type of lifestyle that any individual can have, as long as it's legal in their country or in their land.
Yep.
Okay. It allows you to make choices for yourself, and as long as you operate within the boundaries of the law and hopefully within morals and ethics, you can go off and do whatever you want to do. And if people are willing to pay you for the products that you deliver or the services that you provide, then that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're willing to work and put in the time, then anybody can be an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, a mompreneur, a mom and pop. I mean, according to the latest data, it depends upon whose data you look at, but it's between 25 and 30 million small businesses in the United States today.
Yep.
And if you
look at 48%.
Yeah.
And if of you the whole gross national blah blah.
Yeah. If you look at World Bank data, World Bank data says it's between 365 and 444 million small businesses in the world today.
Mm, wow. Okay.
And so, if that's the case, why are so many people doing that? And I believe the answer is freedom and the ability to do what really gets you charged up. So yep. I think that's where I start from answering your question, what does Biz for Good mean to me? Mm-hmm. It means that if you choose to be an entrepreneur, if you choose to be an entrepreneur and a business owner, you can do that. That's number one. Number two is, it means that people buy things, products or services, because of two reasons. It always boils down to two things. it's what, you know, Kotler talked about the four P's of marketing. I think he's actually short. I think there's at least eight and there may be 10. That maybe is an opportunity for another segment, but we can talk about it later. But the two are...
We'll have the marketing show.
The two are actually pain and pleasure. People buy stuff to eliminate pain or to generate pleasure.
Yep.
For themselves or for somebody else. And so if that's the case, then when you make a burger, and it's the same burger every place you go, and somebody rolls up and walks into underneath those golden arches, you may not like McDonald's burgers or Big Macs or, you know, whatever. But the reality is, I've found I can go anywhere in the United States and order a Big Mac, and it tastes the same and eliminates my pain and maybe gives me a little bit of pleasure, maybe too much. Okay?
Yeah.
But that's what business is about, right? Business is about eliminating pleasure. Sorry, I said it bad. Eliminating pain or fulfilling and bringing pleasure into one's life. And so that's part of where good starts with. That's where capitalism is a positive thing, right?
And people don't realize, if you focus on that, right, that is a good thing.
It is.
And if you focus on that, I mean, it really is a secret that I think people miss when they misunderstand even what Biz for Good Show means.
So I agree. I agree, Bobby. But the other piece of it is something that's occurred recently from a standpoint of the legal structure, which is, you know, we've had nonprofits and not-for-profits for a long time.
Yep. And but that's not necessarily what Biz for Good means.
No.
People misconstrue that, oh, Biz for Good means you got to be a nonprofit, you got to be completely out-for-focused. But there, I would challenge you that there are a lot of for-profits that are doing some seriously powerful, great things on a scale much bigger than most nonprofits can do, because they have the ability to have revenue to go and take out their vision even more.
Right. And the other aspect of that are something they're now called social good or
socialpreneurs.
B corporations. So a benefit corporation.
Ah.
So with the B corporation, I'm not an attorney, so I'm not giving legal advice, just so we're clear about that.
There you go. Thanks for the disclaimer. Thank you.
Utah Bar Association's listening in here.
We're going to have a show on that a little later.
Are you? B corporations?
B corporation.
Yeah, and so it's interesting is that you set yourself up as a standard corporation. I think you're either an LLC or a C corporation. But then you apply to have a B or a benefit, what's the right term? Application where you actually then append that to, you can say we are a benefit corporation and X amount of what we do goes to benefit some portion of society.
So it's this hybrid between a profit and non-profit.
Typically they are for-profit companies, but they may say, hey, we're going to take X amount of our sales and we're going to donate it to these causes or give it to these people or apply it to these organizations or these needs in society. And that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Right? So to me, that's probably the third way that Biz for Good can be applied today. And that's when you ask that question, that's one of the things that I think about Biz for Good. So those three things. Being an entrepreneur yourself.
It's just good for you.
It's good for you
to follow your passion and change the world the way you want.
Exactly. And then, of course, number two is eliminating pain or bringing pleasure to people. People don't have to. You're not forcing people to buy your services. You're not forcing them to buy your products. You have to compete.
And that is a very noble thing to take pain away from folks and give them pleasure. That's a very noble thing.
It is. And most, I don't think most individuals think about corporations or businesses that way. They, you know, people often say, oh, business is evil. It's like,
it's themselves.
Not.
Yeah, cutthroat.
No,
yeah, no.
Think of all the employees that they have. Think of the taxes that they pay. Think of the taxes they pay on their goods or services. Think of the benefits that they bring to society because they're in business. So that's the way I think about it.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Turn it over to you, Ryan.
All right. So we have David
ten
here.
10 minutes left.
We got David here who has had 3 decades of working with companies as big as Apple, GTE, Sanyo, and probably a
worked
plethora.
Worked with a slew of small business.
Yeah, exactly.
In small business. So the question we have for you is...
It's down.
Oh, scroll, man. Down, I got to scroll, people. I'm without a mouse. All right, here we go. What do you hope to accomplish during the rest of your career?
Or said in another way,
what gets you excited about
getting up in the morning, basically?
Getting up in the morning.
Man. You know, it's an interesting question, Ryan. I appreciate that because it's...
What's David Politis's next step?
Well, you know, for over three decades, I have been working primarily consulting with firms. And it's been big, you know, multinational, multi-billion dollar firms down to really, really small companies. And in my mind, and in reality, I've been writing since I was like, you know, third grade, fourth grade. And not bad at it.
And just to plug, we haven't plugged your book yet. I've read your book. It's super powerful.
Thank you.
And I know David well enough. I mean, he's eloquent. It's an easy to read, connect. If you want something that you can grab onto marketing as a small business owner, I really believe that
I will
that
hold
book
it up for
a,
the camera.
Very good.
This is the book. This is the book right here.
66 the book is rules. Oh, go ahead.
66 rules for publicity success. And the subtitle is Boost Your Company's Value for Pennies on the Dollar. It's available in paperback or in a Kindle format on Amazon.com. List price is $16.66 or $9.66. It's really designed, I started with publicity, even though I work in the entire marketing spectrum, because I wanted to micro focus.
Publicity is a powerful, powerful tool that I think small businesses don't understand how powerful that is.
It really is. And so what I've come to realize, the majority of my career, in fact, all of my career, I have worked with technology entrepreneurs, and I include within the technology entrepreneur spectrum, hardware, software, internet, biotech, life sciences, on. But in reality, when you think about what it means to be technical, almost every field is technical. Knowing how to cook the best flambé is actually pretty technical. Knowing how to make fabric and how to make beautiful clothing is technical. And if you're not in that field, you have no idea what the difference is between warp and weft, right? Yeah. Unless you look it up, and you can go look it up right now as I'm talking on dictionary.com if you want. But it has to do with the grain of fabric and which way it falls on the body or on a wall, right? So every field is technical. If you're not in it, what happens is people use shorthand. They use acronyms. So you take your kid into the doctor who was playing soccer and got kicked from behind and her leg is sore 3 days later. The doctor comes in and examines your daughter and he says, oh, don't worry about it. She just has a deep contusion. Contusion, what in the crap is that? Why don't you just say she has a bruise, right? But doctors use this special language, which is great when one doctor is talking to another or to another member of the medical profession, but they make it so technical. I had an experience years ago, and I won't go to all of it, but when my mother-in-law, Betty Mann.
Oh, wait, is this the Betty where factor. We get, yeah, this is where we get the grandma
yeah.
title?
Yeah.
Okay, folks, this granny, is what we've been waiting
granny
for.
Granny branding. So, you should be able to explain what it is you do, the products that you make, the services you make, what makes your product or service different from everybody else, so that your grandmother will understand.
Mm. Oh, man, it amazes me how many people don't get that.
And you should be able to do it,
they
actually.
They want to spit stuff at you that's yeah. going to wow you to death when yeah. nobody even understands anything you're saying.
You got 500 cubic centimeters under your hood of your car, or you've got, you know, 30 terabytes of storage on your laptop. And it's like, nobody cares about that crap. They care about, will this computer be faster than the last one I had? Will this vehicle get me from point A to point B without breaking down? Will it be safe? Will it be fast? Will it be economical from the standpoint of how much gas it burns and how much carbon dioxide it pumps into the air and carbon monoxide? That's what people care about, the benefits, not the features. So you need to be able to explain what it is you do to your abuelita, your grandmother, in 30 seconds or less, or in 50 words or less. That's what you need to be able to
that
do.
That is, people, this is such a powerful.
It sounds like a challenge, actually.
Oh, it does sound like a challenge.
Throw it down.
Yes.
Yeah, if you can't do that, then I tell you, go back to the drawing board and write and write and write, and then take it to your friends, your neighbors, and say, this is, I'm trying to describe my new product, my new company, my service. Will you read this? Make sure they're not in your industry. Does this make sense to you?
That's a challenge right there, folks. You out there in listening land, do exactly what David just said.
Yeah.
Just what David said. Yeah. Write it down. That is such good advice.
50 words or fewer.
Get people out there to look at it that's not in your industry to go, hey, man, does this get you excited? Is this interesting? Do you understand what I cannot believe it. I meet with so many entrepreneurs, yeah, and they sit there and they spiel at me, and I'm like, it means absolutely nothing to me. I am not interested. I mean, I just can't believe that it's such a powerful tool, yeah, and so simple.
Yeah. It's in investing worlds, it's called an elevator pitch. And so the concept is you should be able to, if you got on an elevator, you have a new business, and you realize, oh, there's one of the guys from Shark Tank. Okay. I've got maybe one floor. What do I say between floors? 30 seconds or less.
But if you were in a floor that was going 80, that'd be good, because then you could really get deep and dive.
But the point is not to get him to get his check out, or her to get their check out and write you a check. It's to get them to ask questions and to say, I want to learn more.
Yep.
Let's talk some more. So,
wow, you should and be able how? To, wow, well, how yeah, do you do that?
Exactly, exactly. Wow. So as I've learned about entrepreneurs, most of them are subject matter experts. They tend to have expertise
they
in their field.
They want to get deep in their baby.
It's not in publicity. It's not in marketing. It's not in branding. It's not in messaging. And so I encourage people, you need to be able to do these things. You can change your business. And if you have a small startup, bringing in an extra $500 a month may actually make a big deal to your small startup.
Absolutely.
Or 5,000 or whatever the number is. And if you can learn just a few things from this book or the things that I teach or the things that I advise companies on, you can change your life. And that's what I want to do. What do I want to do with the rest of my life? I want to help thousands, tens of thousands, potentially hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs around the world to learn the basics about marketing, branding, messaging, positioning, so that they can begin to incorporate those things in their lives. That's why I've written this first book. That's why I'm going to write other books. My next book is going to be...
So how do we get in touch with David Pilates? We'll put it all up on social media and stuff, but here for the podcast, people that are listening, how do we get in touch with David?
So if you want to email me, it's actually pretty simple. It's me@davidpilates.com.
D-A-V-I-D. It's the David Pilates that you get to.
Yeah, me@davidpilates, and Pilates is spelled like politics, but without the letter C, so P-O-L-I-T-I-S.
Well, that's
me
easy.
@davidpilates.com. DavidPilates.com is my website. You can find me on Instagram. The new one actually is the.David.Pilates.company. Okay, and I'm putting stuff on there which is all about the marketing
David
tips
Pilates
and rules
company.
The David Pilates Company. And you can also catch me on LinkedIn at DavidPilates1, the number one. And on awesome. Amazon, 66 Rules for Publicity Success. It's pretty straightforward.
Like I said, I've read the book, and it really is. You write so easy to understand. I mean, just like in the very beginning when you're talking about the principle with your mother-in-law,
right?
It's just like, oh, man, this is gold.
Thank you.
This is the real. I mean, you can tell reading the book, you've been there and done that.
Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate
you've been
that.
Through a,
Thank
you, you. You've seen how to do things and how not to do things.
Yes, I have.
It really is an important book for all small business owners and stuff out there that want to understand how to get your message out there with publicity.
Yeah.
So thanks
Thank
for
you
writing
so
the book. And
Thank you.
People, get out there and get it. Okay, folks.
All right. Thanks for being on the show today, and all the fans out there. We just want to thank you so much. And even in Germany and Japan...
Yeah, thank you. The 34 listeners in Japan right now.
I don't know how
there you go.
Danke.
No, Dankeschön.
Dankeschön.
Dankeschön. Yeah. Okay. Hashtag.
Be good, do good.
Hashtag.
Be good, do good.
Hashtag. Be good, do good.
Thank you for listening to the Biz for Good Show series with Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. We want to thank our guests and all our fans of the show. Again, you can find us online at bizforgoodshow.com and on all our social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Have a great day, and remember, be good, do good.